Hello everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this sixth episode of the Hypno Talks. And today I'm thrilled to talk to one of my teachers, Diane Old. She has her private hypnotherapy and counseling practice here in Vancouver. She is an amazing teacher. She teaches at the Orca Institute, the course on counseling hypnotherapy. In her practice, she uses energetic field work and life mission work. Life mission or life purpose work is created to help people live their highest possibilities at their work. Diane will tell us a lot of interesting things about the unlimitedness of our potential. Let's welcome Diane Old. Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for coming today for to this show and for taking your time. I'm so honored to talk to you. You're my teacher, and I'm really thrilled to let people know about your practice.
Oh, well, thank you very much. This is just a joy.
I wonder, I know that you are a counselor.
Yes.
And I wonder what inspired you to start this journey with hypnosis in the first place.
A couple things. One, when I was in counseling school, I met a fellow from Colombia who was a hypnotherapist in Colombia, and him and I started to do an exchange after we graduated from counseling school, and I started to get very excited about it. His approach was a little more direct, and I wanted something like Erickson's, so I looked for something indirect. The second thing that really got me into it was the body-mind connection. Mm-hmm. Just really being fascinated and wanting to understand the connection between the brilliance of the unconscious and the superconscious mind and our ability to change and how that affects the body and how the body has been affected by life and what can we do to move beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Did you find your practice change a lot? I guess, yes, since you included hypnosis as a modality.
Yeah, it did. It certainly became more creative. That's the one thing I love about hypnotherapy. Mm. It's a creative process, you know, two people working together, the unconscious really helping. And at first it was, because I was a counselor, it took a little bit to integrate that into it. And I just love it. There's so many different ways of using hypnosis and hypnotherapy that, you know, many, many, many times clients are going in and out of trance all the time. And it's just wonderful to be able to work with somebody who is wanting to use that ability and that capacity to move in and out of a relationship with the unconscious and the deeper self.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you also use energetic field work and life mission work in your practice. Can you tell a little bit more about these?
Yeah, that's through the way of the heart. I've been doing that probably for about 9 years now. And that particular modality uses sacred geometry and numbers to work in a person's energetic field. So it's a really very holistic when you put it together with the counseling and the hypnotherapy. You know, you're working with the whole of the person. So I have really loved that. And the life mission work, one of my passions is really to help people who are doing exactly what you're doing, starting out new, creating a practice, creating more than that. I mean, this is wonderful what you're doing, interviewing and just really supporting the hypnotherapy community. Yeah, it really
actually,
is.
Actually, I'm happy to have taken part in the life mission process with you, and I remember it, and I think I got so much value from it. And also some things, as you mentioned them, I start to realize that it takes time and it develops. It's like it's continuing to develop. And I specifically remember that question about creating a lineage or connections with other practitioners. It was so vague, and I just didn't get it. I couldn't put my mind into it. I think I wasn't ready for that. And now I start to realize that by connecting with different people, even through internet, even through their videos and their courses, their educational materials, I start to create this type of connection and start to see this web around the world that's happening right now. Is some groups of people are together, other groups of people together, depending on their school of thought. So I start to feel like I'm becoming a part of like a family member in a way. So it's kind of makes sense when I think about our experience back then. And it's just one small part.
Yeah, two things come up when I hear you say that. One, we are a part of the whole, and the more we help others to succeed and to really live their life mission, their life purpose, whatever wording you want to use for that, then we all become so successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing that came up as I was listening to you was, you know, there are many different modalities out there. And certainly some of the work that we have done together, those things will continue to keep working. You know, when you leave a practitioner's office, everything just doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
The unconscious, your whole being is working towards wholeness and whatever processes you partake of to help that movement just keep working. That's mm-hmm. the beauty of them.
That's amazing. And I found that doing homework was really helpful. Some people may have negative connotations with homework or assignments, but I think it's important, the expectation of that part of the work, and a big part of work is done by the client, by the person himself. And it's important that I think that people come into this with the expectation that there is some work to do.
That's right. You just can't. And that's certainly one of the things that hypnotherapists run into a lot. Is, you know, this is going to be the magic wand, the
yes.
magic bullet. This is going to change things just like that. And you still have to do your work. You still have to be part of, an active part of the process in taking action on what you're wanting to do and watching your thoughts and whatever it is you're trying to change. Absolutely.
I wonder, what's the most interesting story that you probably witnessed or facilitated some sort of a transformation that you could think of? Something that you still remember and it was just so amazing.
Well, one thing that's probably amazing and fun is that, you know, lots of people have smoking programs, and, you know, smoking is one of those things that can be a little bit of a challenge. And I had a client, a person who called up, and she wanted to come for just one session for smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And on my website, I have, you know, probably want to do at least five. So that's fine. She came for the session. And sometimes things, when you meet somebody, things just click. And it's all of the work that she's done prior to coming into my office. It's like this synchronicity happening, right? And everything comes together. Anyways, she came and we worked, and we came up with this pithy phrase, and I'm not sure who did it, whether it was her or me or both of us. But by the end of the session, the pithy phrase was, smoking is for dragons, not for people. So we worked and we did a bunch of stuff, and I sent her home with, as you said, homework and things to do. And she only wanted to do one session, so that was fine. And about 2 years later, somebody booked a session and came in. And partway through the session, she said, you know, my sister came to see you 2 years ago to stop smoking, and she's never smoked since. And I looked at her and I remembered the name and I went, oh my God. That's one of the fascinating things about being a counselor and a hypnotherapist, is sometimes you never know the change that's been made. And if that person hadn't come, I never would have known that she quit smoking,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that was kind of fun. You know, that was I remember her because of the phrase that was created and the work that she did. And it was neat to know that, oh, great.
Yeah, that's, you know,
she maintained
phrase.
It and it worked. Yeah, exactly.
In a very unusual approach.
Well, I don't, I like dragons, you see, so I'm not sure who thought of it, but I'm sure it was both of us.
Did she like dragons?
She must have, otherwise it probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, it's like a spirit animal that came and helped her quit smoking.
Exactly, I like that.
That's nice. I wonder, maybe you could tell us about the I don't know if self-hypnosis, you teach your clients self-hypnosis or something simple that they can take with them and use in their daily life.
If a client wants self-hypnosis, I would certainly teach them, and I have done that. And I've also sent people away with maybe going and getting a CD of some meditation. And I also will send them away with a recording of the hypnosis session that we did. And because I'm indirect, they can use it for many things. The one thing, though, that I do on a regular basis is probably some type of a mindfulness breathing. That's part of what the beginning of a hypnosis session, and that's called an induction. And that is certainly something that is easy to teach people, is to just take them through that, just a very simple awareness of your thoughts and bring yourself back to your breathing, awareness of your thoughts, come back to your breathing. And it can be something that you can do for 5 minutes, and to focus on it for 5 minutes can actually physiologically change something and maybe help with stress or things like that. So that's something for sure that they get all the
Yeah,
time.
5 minutes sounds short, but when you start doing this, it feels quite long still. So it's a lot of work that can be compressed in those 5 minutes.
Yeah, to focus on your breath if you haven't done it before for 5 minutes, you betcha.
That's a very long process. Yeah, but it surely change physiology is changing the posture. Sometimes they say posture is very important also for keeping the state. So certain states cannot be done in a certain posture, it seems.
That's right.
Maybe the last question I'd like to ask you, unless you want to say something more about your practice, what's the big one piece of wisdom or some inspirational thought that you could share today that comes to your mind?
I guess the piece of wisdom would be is that we do have two, theoretically, two minds. We have a conscious mind and we have an unconscious mind. And our conscious mind is the very busy part of ourselves that always wants to be part of everything, that has all the thoughts, the judgments, and it's a very essential part of ourselves. It's just that sometimes I think we believe it too much. So how we can get ourselves into trouble is that we listen to everything it says. It could be the part that can take our power away. It can be the part that doesn't support us, that worries more. And there's this whole other aspect of ourself, this unconscious, superconscious mind that is brilliant. It knows how to take things where we've succeeded in the past and bring that into the new thing we're trying to change. It has all of the skills and has access to all of the skills and abilities. And we really need to utilize it more. And I think that's what all the new things coming out are. That's why it's so exciting for hypnotherapists is that people like Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden and the Way of the Heart and places like that are actually very much in touch with the parts of ourselves that are brilliant and how we can access those parts, whether it's through meditation or field work or just focusing on allowing ourselves to understand that we're more than we think we are. I think that would be it, is that we are incredible beings, and sometimes we need to realize that we have access to that amazing part of ourselves anytime we want to.
Great. It reminds me, Mike Mandel, he has one induction that is just a comparison between conscious mind and unconscious, and it goes like, the conscious mind is this, and unconscious mind is that. And he changes the voice each time he talks about unconscious mind. And one of the, for example, he says the conscious mind likes details, and unconscious mind sees the whole picture, something like that. And conscious mind thinks that it's in the driver's seat, and unconscious mind is actually in the driver's seat.
That's
Something like that. So funny. I think it's a really interesting concept.
I think it's exciting to be alive right now because there are so many people out there doing amazing things, and it fits so beautifully with what we do as hypnotherapists, and to be able to help a person access, just that difference between, all right, I don't have to believe every word you say because I know that I can do this. I have access to doing this. And I love that. It's like we're being supported by many different avenues out there. So.
There is a theory that we, as a species, we didn't stop to evolve. We're continuously evolving, and this is one of the parts of evolution that we are witnessing, like working towards being able to use our mind more fully. Maybe hypnosis is a wonderful tool to reach this new
Absolutely.
state.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, I can remember the fellow that I was first started hypnotherapy with telling me that, you know, he would have clients come back a year later and they would be telling him about all the changes that they had made in their life. And he would remember sessions where they had been working on that. You know, so there's timing and there's trusting and having faith in oneself and knowing that when you set an intention, which is really what you're doing when you come for a hypnotherapy session, is you're there for a reason, and that's an intention. And that intention, if it's important enough to you, it will continue to evolve and change you because it's important to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it may not be in the time frame that you want it to be in, because everything has its own timing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's very empowering. Thank you so much for all these answers.
You're very welcome. It's been fun.
Thank you.
This audio is brought to you by easyhypnosis.ca.